Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11. We start from verse 11 and verse 12. I'd like for us to read. As we study this passage of Scripture this morning, I'd like for us to consider our measure of maturity. Measure your maturity. That's the title of our sermon this morning. Measure your maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, note there in verse 11 and 12, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to worship collectively this morning, and we pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please teach us, O God, encourage us, strengthen us, even rebuke us, O Lord, if needs be, that we might be changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray, Amen. The book of Hebrews is a wonderful book. It begins with the word God. It is the only book of the Bible that begins with God. And the author of the book of Hebrews is God. I believe that's why it begins with God, the first word in this book. God was addressing his people. This book was written to Hebrew Christians. And the application is for us all, as God's people, of course. And some of these Hebrew Christians were tempted to go back into Judaism for a number of reasons. Others were in need of spiritual maturity. So I'd like for us to take a few moments and study this passage of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. I'd like to challenge you to measure your maturity, that is, your spiritual maturity before God. Let's note here in verse number 11 the dilemma. The dilemma. God said to his people, of whom we have many things to say. There are many things I want to teach you, God is saying to his people. There are many things I want to teach you. Note the first two words there in verse 11, of whom. He's referring to Jesus Christ. In verses 1 to 10, the Bible spells out that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And here in verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say. In other words, there are many things I want to teach you as God addresses his people. My friend, may I remind you, the Word of God is an endless well of truth. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you. The Word of God is full of gold, precious gold. We have many things to say, of whom we have many things to say. The Word of God is that endless well of truth. And there is much to learn from the Word of God. And as God addressed these Hebrew Christians, he said, there's so much I want to teach you. There's so much to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he went on to say in verse number 11, and hard to be uttered. Difficult to be spoken, truth difficult to explain and to be understood. The context, verses 1 to 10, is referring to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he's just spelled out that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, appointed by God the Father, who appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek. See, Jesus Christ is central to all of the Scriptures. And there is much for you and I to learn about his person and work. In Luke 24:27 it reads, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." So as God addressed these Hebrew believers, he said, "There's so much I want to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you is not easy to comprehend. It's hard to be uttered. It's hard to explain." The inspired, inerrant Word of God reveals to us the very mind of God. And some parts of the Bible are difficult to understand and to apply personally. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:16, the Bible reads, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or destroy, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction." Beloved, we can be led astray because of a failure to understand Bible truth. And as God addressed these Christians, he was concerned for them. He said, "Look, there's so much I want to teach you. And there's so much I want to teach you that is difficult to comprehend. It's difficult for me to utter, to explain, and for you to understand and apply personally." This is his dilemma. And then verse 11 goes on to read, "Seeing ye are dull of hearing." So God's dilemma is this, that God wants to teach us so much. Beloved, God wants to teach you so much from his precious word. The word of God is an endless well of truth. The precious word of God. You cannot exhaust this blessed book. It is a wealth of knowledge, and God wants us to know so much more. And as he addressed these Hebrew believers, God is saying to his people, "There's so much I want you to know about our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is central to the Scriptures, and there's so much that I want you to know that is not easy to comprehend. It's difficult to comprehend, but yet there's so much I want you to know. "Seeing ye are dull of hearing." So we see an appeal here. The word dull there in verse 11 means to be sluggish, to be slothful. Slothfulness leads to poverty, does it not? In Proverbs 10:4 reads, "He that becometh poor, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich." In the area of a knowledge of God's Word, and in the area of understanding and applying the Word of God to one's life, God is saying to his people that ye are dull of hearing. The quantity of truth and the application of that truth, which we call wisdom. Wisdom is the application of biblical truth. And as God addressed these Hebrew believers, he said, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now why were they dull of hearing? Well, go back to chapter 4, verse 7, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. The second part of that verse reads, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts."
because of the deliberate hardening of heart, these Christians were not gaining that greater knowledge and that greater understanding concerning the Lord Jesus Christ within the Scriptures. Their hearts were like the wayside hearer. There in the parable, the sower and the seed, Matthew 13. The Word of God doesn't penetrate the heart because of the hard soil, and the evil one comes along and snatches away the precious Word of God. And God tells His people, of whom we have many things, as much I want you to know. Oh, but Pastor, you might say this, I know so much. Beloved, there's so much more there is to know within the Word of God. Oh, but Pastor, I understand so much, but my friend, there is so much more we need to understand in the Word of God. I just started the book of Isaiah again today. I thought, wow, this is heavy stuff. This is wonderful. There's so much more we can all learn from the precious Word of God. There's so much more quantity of truth that we can gain, and there's so much more application of that truth to our lives that we can benefit from. And God was concerned about these Hebrew believers. He said, I've got so much I want to teach you, and much of what I want to teach you is not easy to understand, seeing ye are sluggish, ye are dull of hearing. And then he goes on to say in verse number 12, and he rebukes them in verse 12. He said, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. These Hebrew believers had a dietary problem. The dilemma was that God wanted to teach them so much. And much of what he wanted to teach them was not easy to comprehend. And their problem was dietary. Note there in verse 12, he said, from when for the time, in other words, by now, ye ought to be teachers. These Hebrew Christians had a dietary problem. Many health issues stem back to a poor diet. Amen, Pastor. Wake up, Australia. Let me say it one more time. Many health issues stem back to what? A poor diet. Yes. Yes. Many of our problems is because we don't look after our bodies and we fill our bodies with a lot of junk and rubbish. And we pay heavily because of that. And so likewise, many of God's people have problems spiritually because they have a poor spiritual diet. And God said to His people here in verse 12, for when for the time, in other words, by now, ye ought to be teachers. By now, Hebrew Christians, ye ought to be teaching others. Time should equate to experience. Would you not expect me as your pastor, after 31 years in the ministry, to have a measure of knowledge and wisdom? You would expect that. I understand that. And God is saying to His people here, it's about time by now you believers should be teaching others the Word of God. God had an expectation of them. This is a reasonable expectation. So likewise, God is saying to these Christians, you should be teaching others the Word of God by now. The ability to share spiritual truth with others is a mark of maturity. Not all have the gift of teaching, but we can all share what we know. Whether you have the gift of teaching or not, you can share what you know. Sharing is a mark of maturity. How is it that a little child struggles? struggles to share. They reflect their immaturity. But Lord willing, as that child matures and grows up, they understand that sharing is a part of life. Sharing is a mark of maturity. And God said to his people, by now, by this time, you guys should be teaching others, but you're not.
Young Christians are not sharing the knowledge they have with others. But note what he went on to say in verse number 12. Dietary problem. Look at verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you what? Again. You have need that one teach you again. You still need to be spoon-fed, God is saying to his people. Otherwise, you will not know how to feed yourself. You have need that one teach you again. You are still in need of a mother, literally, to put you in your high chair, put a bib around your neck, and one spoonful after another, jam it down your throat. God is addressing his people. He's saying, I've got so much to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you is not easy to digest. But ye are dull of hearing. By now, you should be teaching others. But it seems like I'm teaching you again the same things. You have need that one teach you again. And then he goes on to say in verse number 12, teach you again what? Look at verse 12. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So God is saying to his people, by now you should be teachers of the word, but you're not. But I'm still teaching you the same things. I'm still teaching you those foundational principles. We are not eating anything new. We are still infant in our spiritual maturity. I'm still spoon-feeding you that pharax, that rice cereal. I came from a family of 7 children. As the eldest, I spent many a time feeding my siblings pharax. They call it rice. I think that's what you call it. Farex, F-A-R-E-X, it still exists. They say it's rice cereal. It's cardboard. It's mushed up cardboard. That's what it is. See, these believers were stuck on their farex. He said, look, you ought to be teachers by now, but I'm teaching you again the first principles of the oracles of God. These believers were stuck on the ABCs of Christian teachings. God wanted them to move on. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, the foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So God, as he addressed these group of believers, he's saying, hey, you guys are still on Pharax. You're still on baby food. I've still got to put you in the high chair, put a bib around your neck, and one spoon after another, shove it down your throat. And if I didn't do it for you, then you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't
wouldn't know what to do, in fact.
These believers were stuck on the ABCs of Christian teachings. These believers were still struggling, for example, in application with the assurance of their salvation. These believers are still struggling whether to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. These believers are struggling with the issue of reading your Bible daily and praying daily. These believers were still struggling with regular church attendance. These believers were still struggling. Why should I give God 10% of my gross income? Baby stuff. And God is saying to these Christians, hey, listen, I'm still spoon-feeding you. By now, you should be teaching others. But why is it I'm still spoon-feeding you? The first principles of the oracles of God. We just seem to be stuck in gear, and we're not moving beyond that. Why is that? And the reason being is found at the end of verse 12. And become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Strong, solid meat. Liquid, solids. Moving from the liquids to the solids. Moving from milk of the word to the meat of the word. These believers can't handle the more solid teachings of the Word of God. They'll choke. They're stuck on liquids only. Now, milk is pre-digested food suitable for babies, but only those that have teeth can enjoy meat. Christians that are on liquids will choke on the strong meat of the Word of God. God is saying to His people, it seems like I can only give you liquids for now. But you can't handle the strong meat. Could you imagine giving a newborn child a piece of rump steak? Disaster. Disaster. And God is saying, I've got so much to teach you. And much of what I've got to want to teach you is solid protein. But you can't handle it. That's obvious. Because you're still not able to teach others. And it seems like we're stuck in gear. We're just not getting out of first gear. Still can't work out why I should be in church whenever the doors are open. It just doesn't click. You need milk, not strong drink. Strong meat, pardon me. The strong meat of understanding truth like we are no longer enslaved to sin. That's strong meat stuff. Strong meat and understanding, comprehending that heaven is forever and so is hellfire is forever. The strong meat of understanding that God has a plan for Israel in spite of her unbelief. She is still the apple of God's eye. The strong meat of understanding that we are to give beyond our tithe by grace to missions by faith. The strong meat of digesting the fact that, hey, bad things do happen to good people with reason. And to understand and accept the fact there is much inconsistency and hypocrisy, even amongst Christians today, to be able to digest all of that and so much more requires the ability to digest strong meat. And God is saying to these believers, you guys are still on milk and I can't get you off that milk.
I need you to move on. I need you to move on. You need to be able to digest strong meat. We can't live off solids forever, liquids forever. We need to move from liquids to solids. And then in verses 11 and 12, he gives a diagnosis. So verse 11, he shares his dilemma. In verse 12, he spells out the dietary problem. The dietary problem. And now look at this. Verses 13 and 14, God gives his diagnosis. My friend, I'd like to encourage you this morning to measure your maturity before God. Are you a milk-based Christian? Or are you a meat-based Christian? Are you a liquid-based Christian? Or are you a solid-based Christian? Note here in verse number 13, God gives us a diagnosis of a milk-based Christian. Look at verse 13 very carefully. And this is the giveaway of a Christian that needs to mature. Look at verse 13 very carefully. For everyone that useth milk is, what's that next word? Unskillful, inexperienced. That's what it means. In the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In other words, a Christian that is on milk only, God refers to that Christian as a what? As a babe. You're still a baby. You are still an infant. You are still immature in your Christian experience, struggling to consistently apply God's word personally. See, that's what that little phrase there, unskilled in the word of righteousness. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Unskillful, that little phrase there, unskillful in the word of righteousness is in reference to the practical application, inexperience, the practical application of basic Bible truth. That is a babe in Christ. Inexperience, not practical in the understanding and application of the Word of God to one's life. This babe Christian that is stuck on milk, he lacks the skill which goes with maturity, which results in the ability to make appropriate moral choices. In other words, a baby Christian needs to call in the experienced, call in the mature, call in the tradesman to help fix, to answer, to provide understanding. This is a mark of a young Christian. And yes, we all start there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where I began. That's where you began. But the problem is, many of these believers were still there. They're still in the high chair. They've still got a bib around their neck. And mum is still trying to jam that rotten pharynx down their throat. We're just not going anywhere. We're still on liquids. And it's about time we get onto the solids. That's what God is saying. And a mark of a babe Christian is that they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. This passage is in reference to those that have been Christians for some time. Yet there is very little practical application evident in their lives, especially within the basics of the Christian life. Mind you, we must remember there is a place to seek counsel. Wisdom comes from spiritual, mature Christians, leaders. And by seeking godly counsel is wise, the Bible teaches us. In Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. But yet at the same time, God is saying to His people, listen to me, God is saying to His people, it's about time some of you have grown up. Grow up, God is saying to His people. Some of you are still on milk, and by now you should be on meat. What's going on? By now, you should be teaching others the Word of God. But it seems like we're stuck on those foundational principles. We're spending all of this time going over the fact that once saved, always saved. Stuck. You're stuck. Etc., etc., etc. God is saying, you're a milk Christian. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness. So in other words, a Christian that is a babe still is defined as one that is on milk, liquids. And they just can't put one and one together. They just can't do the basics. Struggling with the basics. They're struggling with church attendance. They're struggling with reading their Bibles daily. They're struggling with giving their tithe. They're struggling with their assurance of salvation. This is all basic stuff. Struggling with understanding the importance of the local church. Struggling, just the basics. The basics of the Christian life. May I remind you, my friend, the Christian life is not complicated. It's not complicated, but there's much depth to this precious book, and God wants us to move beyond milk to meat, solid meat, protein. Look at verse number 14. He defines a mature Christian now. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of what? Full age. This is in reference to maturity. A person of full age can handle strong meat, solid, strong meat. Even those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So a babe can only handle milk, God is saying. And a mark of babyhood is that we are unskillful in the practical application of the basics of the Word of God. But a person that is of full age can handle strong meat. This is a mature Christian that can apply God's Word personally. Note the little phrase then, verse 14. Even those who by reason of use, they can handle the Word of God, they are skillful with the usage of the Word of God, have their senses exercised. These believers, because they are skillful in the Word of God. They spend time in the Word of God. They decided, I'm going to go beyond the milk. I'm going to get onto the meat. Even those who by reason of use had their senses exercised. The word senses there is literally a sensor. You know what a sensor is? We have one on our side door entrance that doesn't work. And we have a sensor on the back door that works when it feels like it. That's not how it's meant to be. A sensor has a job. The job is to detect movement and that movement for the light to come on. That's the point of a sensor. Have their senses exercised. This is an ugly word, exercise. Especially this time of the year. Exercise. The word gymnasium, to train, discipline, have their senses exercised. These mature believers, these believers of full age, can handle strong meat, and they give evidence of the fact they can handle strong meat because they can discern. Look at this. Have their senses exercised to what? Discern. In order to be fit physically, it involves discipline training. And in order to be fit spiritually, it requires discipline training within the Word of God. And these that have their senses exercised to discern, this is a mark of maturity, to estimate accurately, that's what the word discern means, to estimate accurately, to make a correct judgment. To make a correct judgment between what? Say it. Good and evil. This is a mark of maturity. In other words, maturity and spiritual discernment are one. A person that is mature spiritually has the ability to discern. Can see a line between that which is good, that which is godly, and that which is not godly, between good and evil. A work of God, a work of the devil. Black, white. Between that which is godly and that which is ungodly. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In other words, a Christian that has reached a point of maturity beyond practically applying the Word of God personally, they are skillful in the Word of righteousness. This believer can discern. They can make judgment. They can make a judgment between sacred music and the devil's music. Some of you are still stuck there. It's because you're immature. I don't see it, Pastor. Well, you need to grow up. That's your problem. Then you will understand the devil is a master musician. When God made him, he made him with music within him. And to this very day, he's using music to destroy people's lives. And a Christian with a measure of maturity understands there is sacred music and there is devilish music. Yes. Discernment. A Christian of maturity will understand there is such a thing as biblical Christian living as opposed to worldly so-called Christian living. A
Are you with me? Worldly. There's a lot of worldly so-called Christian living today. This cool dude stuff that you see down at Quran. You know, cool. Cool Christians, you know. Those guys that serve you on the counter, so cool. They're meant to be Christians. They look so cool. They look like the world. Listen, I'd rather be at a McDonald's and be serving McDonald's. At least they wear a uniform. A discerning Christian, a mature Christian will understand there is a difference between a true New Testament church and a church that claims to be Christian. A mature Christian understands there is such a thing as making a wise decision as opposed to an unwise decision. A mature Christian has the ability to discern biblical truth as opposed to the Word of God being destroyed, distorted. What about this one? A mature Christian has the ability to understand there are good associations and there are bad associations. You will become the people you spend time with. Tell me your short list, whom you spend the bulk of your time with, and I'll tell you whether you're a babe or whether you're mature. Thank you, Pastor. I'll see you after the service. Discernment is an evidence of being filled with the blessed Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Verse number 14, the Bible reads, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him." And may I say, my friend, if you're here this morning and all that I've said makes absolutely no sense to you, it could well be that you are a natural man and you need a birth, you need to be born again into God's family. Because you are a sinner in need of a Savior. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. But, look at verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." So a mark of spirituality is a person that has a measure of discernment. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 5, let's read verse 14 once again. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." They'll have the ability to discern both good and evil. There's a mark of a mature Christian. Discernment. A Christian of full age. A Christian that can handle strong meat. And God is saying to His people, "Listen, I've got so much I want to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you, it's not all milk. In fact, it's strong meat. And there is some strong meat here in the book of Hebrews. I'm telling you. It's thick. Steak. It's strong meat. And God is saying to His people, I'm concerned for you because there's so much I want to teach you. And there's so much that is not easy to understand, but I need you to grow up. I need you to move on the milk. It's about time you move on. Christian, it's about time we move on from the milk to the meat of the Word. A babe in Christ is still stuck. Shall I go to church today or not? Shall I read my Bible today or not? Do I really need to pray? Do I really need a witness? That's basic stuff. That's baby stuff. If you haven't worked that stuff out, you are unskillful in the word of righteousness. And God is saying to you and I that have been Christians for a while, now I'm not downplaying for those of us that are young in the faith. We have some young Christians here this morning. But some of you, listen to me, yes, you've been a Christian for a number of years, but you're still stuck on milk. You still can't work it out why this is where you need to be when the doors are open. Say amen. Amen. And you need to be in your Bible daily, reading the Word of God. And you need to be in prayer, and people need a Savior. We need to be a witness for Christ. That's all basic stuff. Basic, 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 basic. God gives us the ability to work. 10% belongs to God. Don't rob God. Basic stuff. Elementary stuff. And that's where many of God's people are. Stuck. Still in their little high chair. With this ugly plastic bib wrapped around their neck, choking them to death. There's pastor trying to jam Farrax down my throat. Oh, hard stuff. Yes! Let's move on to the meat. Men love meat. Men love meat. Yes, we do. You will never disappoint a man in the quantity of meat served. You will not find a man, a true-blooded man, that would object to a plate full of meat. You'll get no objections. He's not going to say, honey, where's the greens? Where's the carrots? He's just going to smile from ear to ear. The more meat, the better. Amen, men? Yeah. And God is saying to you and I, as His people, grow up. You need to be in the meat. I've got so much I want you to know. And there's so much I want you to understand. But you need to get in the book and you need to decide, okay, it's about time I climb out of this high chair and I walk on my own. And I, with these teeth, I'm going to start digesting some meat. I'm going to choose to grow up for the glory of God. And that was God's concern for these Hebrew believers. He said, I've got so much I want to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you is strong meat. But you blokes, you're so immature. You won't grow up because of a hardness of heart. So my friend this morning, please measure your maturity. God is challenging us to grow up. Let me ask you this morning, how long have you been a Christian? Okay. Does that equate to maturity? Look, I know Christians that have been Christians for a long, long time and they're still sucking their dummy. Still dummy suckers. And God is saying to His people, I've got so much I want to teach you. And much of what I want to give you is strong meat. But I need you to grow up. I need you to soften your heart. And take at face value the basic principles of the Word of God. Yes, you need to read your Bible every day. Yes. We'll do it. Yes, we need to be a witness. We'll do it.
Bible says, he that has a son has life. End of argument. I'm saved for eternity. Move on, brother. Come on.
May this passage of Scripture be a challenge to us all to mature. God said to his own people, I'm afraid that I've got so much to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you is heavy stuff that's difficult to explain, but I'm afraid that for many of you, you won't be able to handle it because you are only a babe. You are unskillful in the word of righteousness. The year's drawing to a close. The year's gone. It's gone. Gone. 7 days left. Are you a babe in Christ? Or are you mature? Where are you at? Okay, fair enough. If you've only been a Christian for 6 months, 1 year, okay, you're still a babe. But some of you have been Christians for 10 years, 5 years, 15 years. You're still a babe. You haven't worked out the basics. Still on milk. You still come to church and allow pastor to shove barracks down your mouth. Let's be men. Let's crave the meat, the protein. The more the better. And all of God's men said, this is meat, the meat of the word. And may God do a work in our hearts that we would desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God said to his own people, I've got so much to teach you, so much to teach you. And much of what I want to teach you is strong meat, but I don't think you're about to handle it. You're just going to choke on it. I'm going to lose you. God was concerned about his people. And I'm concerned about some of you. But you're going to eventually choke on the strong meat. You won't last unless you get the basics in order. Let's bow for prayer.